It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, and joining us is Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. And good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
How's everybody today? Surviving the rain?
It's nice to see the sun this morning.
I haven't seen it in 10 days. Where'd you see it?
Yeah, well, it's out there a little bit.
I haven't seen any of it.
You've been in since 4:30, yeah, so you don't know.
Don't see that. I did see a flounder in the parking lot of Freeman's. There's a picture on the Carter News Times online of a flounder in the parking lot.
Oh, my gosh. Got washed in with a tide. Huh?
Yeah. Crazy. All right. So what are we talking about today?
We've talked over the past couple of weeks about long-term health care planning, Medicaid eligibility, protecting the home from the spend down. We've been talking about the spend down itself. So I think we'll probably wrap that up today. We're going to talk a little bit more about the interplay of what's called the community spouse. If we have the one spouse who needs the long-term care,
right,
needs to go into a skilled nursing home facility, skilled nursing facility, and then we have the other spouse who would be referred to as the community spouse, mm-hmm, who is basically healthy and not doesn't need to do that, doesn't,
yeah,
need to go into the facility at this time. So there's a lots of twists and turns in the Medicaid laws as it relates to that community spouse and what the law allows,
mm-hmm,
for that community spouse to retain, because we don't want to leave that community spouse destitute and unable to pay her bills or maintain,
right,
the mortgage or, you know, do those kind of things. So we're going to talk about that interplay a little bit today, and probably we'll pour over into some other things that come, mm-hmm, up as we walk down that path.
Okay, where do we start with figuring that out?
Well, you know, basically when we talk about Medicaid eligibility for long-term health care purposes, you know, the general rules we've talked about on the program is that you can't have over $2,000 of countable, mm-hmm, assets and become eligible. So, and those are assets of husband and wife.
Mm.
So, you know, that's not very much. We talked over the past couple weeks about the planning techniques that should be used in order to protect the home place and, mm-hmm, to make sure that the home place and any other real property is a non-countable asset. There's a proper way that we've talked about on the program to protect that, so that not only is it not countable immediately, there's no 5-year, 3-year look-back period, but it's also not subject to estate recovery,
mm-hmm,
based on the proper planning techniques we've talked about over the past couple of weeks. But then, you know, when you get into the other assets,
mm-hmm,
of the husband and the wife, or other assets that may be countable, this could be, you know, retirement account. It could be, you know, a CD, money in the bank, joint account. It could be even personal property, like titled property if you have more than one vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be a whole host of things as it relates to, you know, other countable assets. But if we have been, let's say, the husband, it seems like that's usually the way it is. The husband, mm-hmm, is the one who has to go into the,
right,
facility, and the wife is the one that's at home. Then we don't have to spend all those assets of husband and wife down to that $2,000 number in order for the husband to become eligible for,
mm-hmm,
the Medicaid, because the law allows under what's called the community spouse resource allowance,
right,
for that community spouse to keep a certain amount of assets. And currently, this number changes, but currently that number is just over $119,000.
At the upper end.
At the upper end. So $119,000 would be the amount that the community spouse would be allowed to keep. So let's say we had $226,000,
mm-hmm,
you know, $1,000,
mm-hmm,
of countable asset. We would have to spend down not 224,000 of it.
Right.
We'd only have to spend down half of it,
mm-hmm,
and then the community spouse gets to keep that 100. Well, that math wasn't right.
7,000.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So
early morning math. Yes. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. So, does the idea of the home place, does that figure into that as
no.
well?
No.
Okay.
Because the home place would be a non-countable asset.
Okay. So.
And then we're just looking at what's left over.
Okay. So you have IRAs.
That's right. And then we're into the spend down mode.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a point where care is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
We're needing to qualify. So we're splitting the assets, and the community spouse gets to keep that one half up to that about $119,000. So that's, you know, about where we are there with that. So the rest would have to be spent down. So let's say we had $500,000 accountable asset. We have to spend down everything over $119,000.
Right.
Okay. So then we may get into a pretty aggressive spend down. We just have to look at the circumstances in a case like that.
Ben, another way to say the same thing that we've been saying is that basically there are two steps to the process. The first step is to protect the real estate, which is the home place, the land, the house. Once that is done, which is not part of the community spouse allowance,
right.
I mean, that's real property. Then we look at everything else. Everything else now is where the community spouse allowance would apply. Everything else: boats, trailers, cars, IRAs, CDs, bank accounts, stock accounts, any kind of asset.
Pension?
Well, only if the pension could be cashed in, if it's immediately available.
Right.
If it is just simply income, an income,
right.
You know, a retirement pension, and that it is paid every month, then like a Social Security, then that is just treated as income.
Okay.
If it's a 401k, however,
right.
You know, or a large IRA or a type of retirement plan where there can be principal withdrawals, then, of course, yes, it is counted because it is available.
Yes, right.
You know, it is available for use to pay the nursing home. So we look at everything else. And then, of course, as we've discussed before, it's split 50-50 between the community spouse and the potential person who is going into the facility. It is split 50-50 at that point. It doesn't matter whose name it's in. These are some of the things we've said before, but a lot of times, you know, most of the assets are in one husband or in one party,
name.
In either
right.
the husband or either the wife.
Right.
Okay. And they say, oh, no, that's always been my CD. That's not my husband's CD. I inherited that from my parents. Doesn't matter. For Medicaid purposes, all of the assets are going to be looked at that are available in that household. It is not going to matter whether or not there's a prenuptial agreement, as we've discussed before, for our geriatric lovebirds.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Their assets are going to be looked at. Okay. After we then look at them and we split them 50-50, as Wes was just saying, the community spouse is going to be able to be permitted to have up to $119,000 or right at that number that is not considered part of the assets that have to be spent down.
Okay.
Now, after this analysis occurs, we now have, you know, beginning, this is not the ending point, right, at this very moment where we're talking right now, Ben. This is what Wes and I would refer to as the beginning point.
Sure, sure.
Okay, now what do we do with the amount of monies that are over and beyond the community spouse allowance?
Okay.
And what are some of the options that a client has? There certainly are some things that we can sometimes help clients with under those circumstances.
That's good. Good point to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what those ways to spin that down. We'll have more to come in just a moment here with Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. If you would like to call in, 800-818-2255 or these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Online at harvellandcollins.com. And we're back with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law here on Let's Talk Legal every Tuesday morning on Coastal Daybreak. And a question that came up during the break was about what if your total assets between the two of you don't amount to the total amount that is handled there?
That's a great question. You know, the way that the community spouse resource allowance is calculated, it's going to be one half of all countable assets with that cap of 119. So let's say that we had only 100,000 of countable assets, not 238, but 100. Well, then the community spouse would be 50. That community spouse gets to keep one half of all countable assets.
So the other half
it doesn't automatically go up to 100. It's just one half of whatever they are. And then we get to apply the $2,000 that the husband under our scenario keeps. So basically the spouse keeps $52,000. We have to spend down $48,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit complicated, but we like to see the countable assets when there's a community spouse situation as close to $238,000 as we can get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that allows the community spouse to keep as the maximum.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we had a situation where we had $100,000. Well, if there was of community assets of countable assets. Well, if the client was able to, let's say, take out an equity line on their home,
right,
and borrow more to make that community spouse to make that those countable assets higher. And then we split the baby in half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then where are we? The community spouse gets to keep more. And then what do we do right off the bat in order to start spending down?
Pay off the equity line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is a planning technique that it's an aggressive planning technique, but we sometimes employ that if the circumstances are right.
Does the community spouse get to choose what are those resources?
Yes. Yeah. As long as we prove that we have spent down those assets in a way that Medicaid approves, then the application will be approved. As long as we're spending it down under the law, which of course can be somewhat complicated, and it's in that 10-inch binder in my office of all the different things you can do.
I mean, if you're putting a value to the boat, though, you may not get that much.
Well, that's right. Tax value is all they care about.
Oh, okay.
They don't get into appraised values, those kind of things. They look at tax value. That's it.
But again, Ben, the reason the community spouse is able to elect to, for instance, allow as part of the allowance their husband's IRA is because for Medicaid purposes, as we said, everything in the household is considered.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they can elect whatever asset they want to be part of their community spouse allowance.
Okay.
Now, once we're over that amount, we were at that point where we were going to talk about some of the things that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the things that is done is that we look, as we just mentioned, to see whether or not there's any debt to be retired.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And if there is any debt to be retired, then that would be an allowable spend down.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So any credit cards, any taxes, any equity lines, any mortgages.
Right.
Anything of that nature, any car loans, any debt whatsoever. Another thing that's a very common thing that our clients will do is to prepay their funeral at that point. The funerals now greatly range in price depending on whether or not there's cremation or actual burial. But the bottom line is that it is money that is allowable to be spent down and will go against the amount that we're spending down to reach the $2,000 level.
Husband and wife, by the way.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Even if the husband is the only one going into the facility, we can go ahead and prepay funeral for both.
Right.
Yeah. And that's really something that's better to do if we get to this point. Mm-hmm. You don't do it in advance because that brings the whole countable assets down. We'd rather just spend it out of the part we have to spend down.
Mm-hmm. And we are still at a place in our culture and in our society where a lot of people are still having burials, Ben.
Sure.
And, I mean, husband and wife, I mean, that's $20,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Of the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's enough right there. Just prepay the funeral. After all, those are going to be costs that are going to have to be paid at some point.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is to allocate this money that would otherwise have to be used, for care,
right?
And for the cost of the nursing home, which is $5,000 to $7,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to allocate these funds back to the family in manners in which assist our client.
Right. So the maximum that you can help out your client.
Correct.
Right.
All right. Now we've talked about debt. We've talked about the funeral. The next thing that we would want to talk about is any improvement to their real property.
Mm-hmm.
So any improvement to their home. Maybe there have been things in the home that have not been, you know, completely, up to par.
Right. Sure.
You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, a lot of things that they lived in a home a long time. They're probably replacing floors. Yeah. A number of things.
Carpeting. Yeah. Linoleum, roofing, guttering. Maybe we need handicap accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of improvement to the real estate. And then, of course, it just kind of moves forward from there into some other planning techniques that we also utilize so as to, again, you know, at this point, you know, competently and aggressively represent the client.
Mm. Now, what about the timing of that spending? Is that always after the application, or is it in the period that's the normally considered the look back period?
I mean, well, it could be immediate. If we have an imminent need, it could mm-hmm. be during that period of time. It could mm-hmm. be after the application. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, normally when we're looking at applying.
Mm-hmm.
We're going ahead and starting this process because you're really not supposed to make application until, you know, you're eligible.
Right.
But if you're not eligible when you make application, then the Department of Social Services will analyze your assets just like, you know, we would do in mm-hmm. our office, and they would advise as to what that spend down will need to be under this community spouse resource allowance.
If you have a spouse that's in declining health, I mean, and it's going to be, it's pretty evident.
If it's imminent, right.
Can you go ahead and do the home improvements, those kinds of things? Or?
Yes, but I think what you're getting down to is that when do the assets get counted? Because mm-hmm. we need to have a snapshot date.
Right, right.
There's a date.
A
date certain when those assets are counted,
mm-hmm.
where, okay, boom, this is the date. These are all the assets. We've calculated them as of this date.
Mm-hmm.
Now, community spouse, you get to keep one half. Institutionalized spouse, don't like that term, but institutionalized spouse, you get to keep the other half.
That's the truth.
Or you have to spend down the other half,
yeah.
And then you're eligible. When is that date? It's mm-hmm. the first date of institutionalization or first date of hospitalization leading to institutionalization. So that community, you may start a spend down earlier
mm-hmm.
if you want to, but it's really not advisable. It's advisable to do that after the snapshot has been taken, so that we're only spending down, you know, we're spending down only out of our side,
right.
Not out of the whole.
Okay.
Right.
All right. More to come in a moment. In fact, I want to ask about income. What do you do with that? When we come back in just a moment here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Welcome back. We're talking about community resource and some of those community resource allowance and some of the things that happen. And Cecil, what happens though with income during that period?
Well, Ben, that's a great question. And notice that everything we've spoken about this morning is about asset protection.
Right.
You know, the real property,
mm-hmm.
the home place. Now, all the other mm-hmm. assets, okay, bonds, stocks, IRAs, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Boat trailers, cars. We haven't talked anything at all, have we, about income?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we haven't is because the income of the respective person in the nursing home is, in fact, going to be taken and is going to be used first to apply to the expense of the nursing facility.
Right. Even if it's Medicaid eligible. Right.
Once they're qualified for Medicaid, absolutely. Once the assets mm-hmm. have been properly aligned, there is nothing that we can do. There's going to be a little exception to that, but mm-hmm. there's really nothing that we can do to change the income. I mean, the income is what it is, and it will go first
mm-hmm.
to the $5,000 to $7,000 expense. The difference will be paid by Medicaid after the income is applied.
Right.
Now that income is usually, obviously, as we know, there's Social Security. That's
mm-hmm.
a given.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, of course, as you mentioned earlier in the program, there is a pension.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If for some reason these items of income are are skewed and overly weighted toward one spouse or the other, mm-hmm. in terms of and is skewed in toward the one that is in fact in the nursing facility, then there will be an amount allocated back to the community spouse,
right?
Based
right.
on a formula, mm-hmm. but that is in those cases where again the income is heavily weighted. I mean, you know, a situation, husband has a pension, $2,000, mm-hmm. a Social Security, $1,800, and the wife has a Social Security of $300.
Right.
And the husband is now in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some allocation back of his income to her. But there is no question but that this is a very difficult mm-hmm. change of environment for the community spouse, because that income is no longer available to the household. This is all the more reason, Ben, why the planning of the protecting of the assets and the proper use of those other assets and the way in which they are applied mm-hmm. during our advice of the spend down is so critically important.
Yes.
Because there is likely going to be a loss of income to our dear mom in her home.
Right.
And
right.
so the other assets really need to be properly allocated and properly applied, so as to be able to, you know, in some manner make up that difference.
Mm-hmm. An IRA will have a required minimum distribution at 70.5. Does that count as income too?
Yeah, that would absolutely count as income. You know, obviously we're going to get into an issue about whether that needs to be liquidated in order to be
right.
eligible.
And
we have to take into consideration the tax implication mm-hmm. there as well. But, you know, a lot of times when you weigh $5,000 to $7,000 a month versus the tax hit, you know, it's more advantageous to liquidate. But mm-hmm. we just have to take that on a case-by-case basis. If it's a really large IRA, then, you know, maybe yeah. we can't do much about it.
All right. Again, if you want to find out more, you want to contact the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, the right advice at the right time, at online at harvellandcollins.com. And you can find them also by calling 726-9050. That's 726-9050 at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.